hello. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Probs. I'm Ronnie Karam, and joining me as usual is the thin, the gorgeous, the Peloton, stubby toad because he heard it on a couch, but fully haired and beautifully coiffed, Mr. Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. Hi, how are you? Thank you. You can't hear me? Oh, gosh.
Oh, well, it does say my speaker. Could happen with my speaker. Well, this
I am
was a
speaking.
Bust.
It did say your external speaker.
Okay, just now I can like hear it. Okay,
you can hear it? Guys. Okay, great. Listen, this is live. It's actually not live. It's actually not live at all.
It's lazy.
This is lazy podcast where we do not go back and restart a clunky beginning to an episode. Okay,
yeah, we're stuck with it. Okay, we're stuck with bullshit comes out of our mouths. So
yeah,
take that. People who like that. Good podcasts.
Hello.
Professionally produced podcasts.
Yeah, we have not had one professionally produced podcast in nearly 10 years, and it's going to stay that way. So
that's
you get all
right.
The hiccups. You know what? The other day, a lizard walked by my window, and I got very excited. In another podcast, it might have been edited out, but we don't go back and do that. Most of the time.
Lizards will not be edited on this show.
Lizards are
on this
part
show
of this
we
process.
Celebrate lizards. I mean, we cover every Real Housewives.
Yeah.
We love them.
Exactly. I mean, hello. You know, we were there for Danielle Staub's first show, right? So, speaking
of lizards.
Let's talk about the lizards in Texas right now.
Let's talk about the lizards in Texas. Okay, we'll go there. Cameron does kind of look like a V lizard. You know the V people on the TV
like Diana.
Show
Diana
yes,
does.
Like she looks like she goes home and opens her mouth real wide and just like slides a hamster down there or whatever from that show. Okay, so you know, this Real Housewives of Dallas, for anyone who only cares about jerseys, just press fast forward. I don't care. This isn't for you. Okay.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us who are obsessed with this Dallas drama, wow. You know, Cameron really just can't shut the fuck up on Dallas. Like, you know, I understand everyone knows the term quit while you're ahead. You were never ahead, ma'am. Okay.
Right.
But quit while you're only this much behind. Why would you make that much of a racist ass out of yourself on a reunion? The entire world tells you sound like a completely ignorant moron. And then keep going, like doubling, tripling, quadrupling down. Then her husband gets into it.
Even Leanne stopped at some point. Even Leanne finally was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Even Leanne was like, oh, okay, I guess it's gotten really bad. And shut the fuck up about it. But Cameron or Cameron's piece of shit little jelly bean of a husband.
And husband. First of all, Court and Chart. What is happening with these names over here? Who was playing Mad Libs when they named these two imbeciles? Okay. Court and Chart.
Yes, rich people. Okay, stop. We get that you're rich. Okay. Like, tell me that you're rich without telling me you're rich. My name is Chart. Okay. People don't pull that shit.
Literally named after an infographic. I don't understand that.
Okay. So let's see. Let's see. So this, I guess, is what Court tweeted. I've got access. I cloned their phones. Okay. This is what he tweeted to Tiffany. Anti-racism is racism. It discriminates by the color of one's skin. They tried that once in Germany, and it did not work out well. Really? So the Nazis were anti-racism, and that's why they killed all those Jews? Oh, my God. You rich people really do have different schools.
I don't even understand this logic. You know what? There's only one expression for this kind of tweet, and it was actually pioneered by Cameron herself, which is go.
Yes, a one-eyed twitched horror face. By the way, we're just making faces because we are on Crappens on Demand today in the middle of this racist tweet. Come support that. Okay, so they tried that in Germany.
All,
it didn't work out well.
Yeah, go on. Finish the tweet.
Okay.
Finish the tweet.
I don't understand how many of your patients would be comfortable with you treating them with your open, vile racism.
And then he adds the hospital that Tiffany works at. Okay.
Oh, he sure did.
He sure did.
Wait, did
so
he?
This is actually UTS so vile.
W News.
Here is a woman who is we are in the middle of a pandemic still. A lot of people are getting vaccinated, as they should be. And I want to, by the way, thank everyone for getting vaccinated. But here are people who are she's working in a hospital frontline, and you're going to try to get her to lose her job because you didn't like that she stood up for herself when your wife was condescending to her and trying to explain her own culture to her and not really listening when Tiffany was trying to explain. You know, it's and then to have this whole tweet that truly makes no sense. Anti-racism is racism.
Anti-racism is racism. Wow. Okay. I hate racists. That's racist. And it really does go back to that argument. It's basically the same. Well, similar to saying, oh, I thought you guys were supposed to be the tolerant ones. Oh, really? Yeah. So I can't hate gay people. I can't hate gay people. Oh, you're so intolerant. You fucking ignoramus, this fucking guy. Okay, so then Chart comes on. Okay, because we all need to hear from Chart. You know, I'm sure everybody's like, I wonder what Chart thinks about this.
When he raps, is that considered a flow chart?
So Chart. Let's get Chart explained to. Chart says, man, I must be really scary to Tiffany Moon MD if she needs to block me for no reason. I've spoken to her twice, once when she was blackout drunk at my house, but needed to get home for early work. Wonder if she had a hangover while working on her patients.
And what patients do you have, Chart? What margaritas? Wasn't there a photo of Chart going around in Hawaii where he was just like, magging it up on like a piece of steak? I actually could be completely wrong. I apologize. This could just be just my visual manifestation of him.
I don't know. There was a thing of him on Reddit where somebody posted that they went on a first date with him and he was just a total pig. He's like, hey, can I ask you a personal question? Where'd you buy them bad boys? And pointed to her boobs. You know, like shit like that. Like real super classy guy, shot.
I love when people... I don't know what Chart said or did to make Tiffany block him, but I'm assuming it was something. And I just love when people do things and then people block them and they're like, oh, you blocked me, huh? I don't know what I did. It's like you this. I mean, I understand that my argument is on shaky ground because I don't know anything about what happened, but I just automatically dislike this guy.
Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb. And assume that it was tweets like this, you know, them coming for her and atting the hospital that she works at, stuff like that, trying to get her fired. I mean, that's disgusting. Okay, so here's a piece of good news for the day. This made me smile so big when I read it this morning. And you know what? You can say whatever you want about Overserved, but my queen is still Lisa Vanderpump, and I laughed my ass off at this.
Yes, this is good. I know what you're talking about.
So this is on TMZ or Page Six. I think it was one of them. It's on both of them. I don't know who broke it. So Lisa Vanderpump sends $132 dinner tab to Kyle Richards' table after feud. So Lisa was at some sushi restaurant in L.A., and Kyle walks in with the producer, and Lisa went over and said hi to the producer. I'm assuming Kyle was just an a-hole because she's Kyle. And then Lisa went back to her table.
Kyle just still had that gift, I'm sure. She was like, I've been waiting to give you this birthday gift. Remember?
Yeah.
She just carries around everywhere.
So then Lisa went back to her table, finished her dinner, and then sent the tab to Kyle and the producer.
Yeah.
But she did leave. She did tell the waiter, hey, this is just a prank. So here's my credit card number and all that stuff if they don't pay for it, which they probably won't. But just do it. Just do it, darling. Get it. It's hilarious British humor. And, of course, they did not pay for it. They got really pissed off and did not pay for it. So still can't take a joke, Kyle, and still got it, Lisa Vanderpump, especially the week that all this comes out with Kyle using the queen tagline and that whole thing after going off about Lisa Vanderpump using a queen tagline and how gross that was. And then Kyle, of course, copies her and does it on her own. So I don't know. It's all a nice little bow for me. You know,
it is a nice
little
bow.
Very fun.
It's like a nice little shawl around Pandy's shoulders. And I have to say, that that's the shit about Lisa Vanderpump that I love. And I wish we got more of that than her sort of precious.
Don't ruin this. Don't ruin this with your vanity.
I thought it was good. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. I have. You know what? It's it's a hard pivot to go from, you know, Court and Chart being literally racist to them being like, and then there was a lovely prank in Encino, you know, but
listen,
I'm pivoting. I'm doing
on,
it.
Hating on Lisa Vanderpump is just what the Nazis did. So I hope you're happy with yourself.
Anyway, that was some good news. And the TLDR is Team Lisa Vanderpump, Team Tiffany Moon MD. Okay? Yes, and that's and that.
That's that. We'll get on to Jersey.
Not really
but question. Just also know we subbed in for Miss Courtney, who has gone on to Judgy Girls this week. We hung out with Mary, so we're on that podcast today, just released. So go listen to that. That was a really fun conversation with a friend, okay? And now here we are with The Real Housewives of New Jersey season finale.
Yes, the season finale. So I didn't even realize it was going to be the season finale until like a day or two ago. I guess that's because the last episode ended with a strange to be continued and no previews for next week, which I thought was a strange choice. It was like a to be continued for literally nothing. So yes. Now here we are on the other side of that to be continued. And Teresa is opening the door for Louis. And here's Louis. Here he is, the man we've been vaguely curious about. Yeah. And he's handsome. He's handsome with certain expressions, I think. I think when he's not expressive, he's handsome-ish.
If you're the kind of person who has wet dreams after you play Super Mario Brothers and you're like, did I just have a wet dream about Bowser? Then he would be hot to you.
I literally thought he looked like one of Bowser's children.
He looked like Bowser.
Once he started talking, I was like, is that Bowser Jr.?
Exactly like him. It's so weird. He looks like in the Mario I'm playing currently, the one for the U. Okay. There's like a little mini Bowser that flies around in like a spaceship thing, and you can see him through the dome of his glass. That's who he looks like. The baby Bowser. Just like him. Bless his heart.
No, I'm not even joking. I was literally going to say at first I thought he looked handsome, but then we started talking. I was like, oh my God, it's Bowser Jr. It's literally Bowser Jr. in the little thing that around.
And Bowser is a narcissist because there was that article in People magazine about narcissist emotional abuser or something like that, which is what his ex is accusing him of being, this Louis guy. And you know, Barcissist is a narcissist and he is also an emotional abuser because he keeps kidnapping kidnapping princesses.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And well, this time he got Teresa by accident. So so now they are in.
I'm sorry, but the princess is in another castle.
So they get into a car and they have a scintillating conversation where she says,
hi, babe. How was your day?
And he's like, it was good. That was it.
Yeah,
that was like their chemistry.
Yeah, I got a good day. I had a good day, babe, but better now that you were here. And he is.
You know, we've learned the term love bombing recently, and so I'm just using it all the time now. I'm not really sure when I'm using it correctly. I'm still learning, but I'm pretty sure he's love bombing because I don't think anybody's that nice. But it is also very early in there. I just don't trust him, okay? I don't trust him. And Teresa is, you know, not the most trustworthy person either. I mean, she did pick Joe, okay?
Who also looks like one of Bowser's children. I think she has a type.
Joe looks more like one of the little mushroom guys. You know, what are those called?
Well, they're actually, mushroom guys are actually called Goombas.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Wait, is that nice for us to say these days? Okay, so Teresa says that she's like, you know, getting back into the dating world these days is like really hard for me. And like, I was married like for 20 years. And like, so when I first met Louis, I was like taking it very slow. And I was like taking baby steps. Like literally that's how I walked through the doors. I would just take like little baby steps. And it was like really nice for me.
You have to because you're wearing pleather pants that are like utility gloves. They shouldn't even be worn. Okay, they're so tiny. She literally has to take baby steps or she'll fall over. And she keeps saying, you know, it's really hard for me, bling 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 bling, because I's a public figure. All right, I'm like, okay.
She keeps saying that she's a public figure. I mean, she is. She is. Yeah, she's not like one of those Instagram people that just declares that they're a public figure.
I've got a little cough and I just keep on vaping. I'm going to just cough on everybody's face. This is the episode you're all going to cancel your subscription. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
I know. You're either going to cancel the subscription or just cancel us at this rate, you know? But so we're just going to try to make you enjoy the last few minutes that you have with us. So
I'm a public figure, dude. All right. All right. He's so, smart. He's so successful. He's an entrepreneur. And he got sunsets. There's so much I loves about him. And he's like, your lashes, they're so big. They're doing this right now when I'm looking at you. That's funny, right? Hey, can I get some dinner over here? Okay, I'm going to have a steak. And what else is you going to have to eat? I'm going to have some fries, too. You don't eat no vegetables. Hilarious.
It was like Australopithecuses go on a date. So, yeah, they go to a restaurant called.
It was like, who goes on a date?
Australopithecus.
Who the fuck is that?
isn't that like a primordial man? Isn't that like, you know, before Neanderthal? Not even Neanderthal. Let me look it up it's like I'm probably talking about some medical condition. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Australopithecus. Australopithecus is a fossil bipedal primate with both ape-like and human characteristics found in Pliocene and lower Pleistocene deposits. Which, by the way, the funny part is that this restaurant's called Lower Pleistocene Deposits. So, you know, it's perfect.
Lower plate. Wow, you learn something every day at Roger.
Australopithecus. So it's like we're on like blind Australopithecus date, essentially. They're actually at a restaurant called The Town, which I'm like, of course they go to a restaurant named after a Ben Affleck movie from the aughts.
That was extremely sad from what I remember. Yeah. Nothing good happened in the movie The Town, okay? No one left that like, wow, what a whirlwind romance that film was.
Yeah, it was not a romantic movie at all. Was Naomi Watts in that movie? I feel like she was. I think John Hamm was in it. Listen, it's a movie that features Hamm, so it's really appropriate. So, of course, anyway, the point is this. Teresa says,
Joe just didn't know how to act.
And then, of course, see the clip again.
Hey, you're my wife's a dumb bitch, all right?
He's like, you know what you need to do right now, Teresa? I don't care. Shut up. All right?
Shut the fuck up,
stupid.
Cop fitness.
Yeah.
So then they're like making patter about how he's like the younger man. Hey, you're dating a younger man. I'm 46 years old. Hey, Fred. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Fred.
He does talk like Barney.
Yeah, hey, Fred. And he's like, remember that day we met, Fred? You remember that? I'll never forget that day. I was like, didn't you just come out of your house like to get into your car? What kind of romantic story is this?
I know.
Like, yeah. And then they show us Teresa telling the story. He was coming out of his house, getting into his car. It was so romantic.
I love that he says, yeah, I still think of that day. I'm like, it was like 2 months ago. It's not like it was in some hazy sepia tone memory of yesteryear. It was like literally like 8 weeks ago. It's not that hard to think of.
She's like, yeah, me too. Because I'm in the public eye. So it's hard for me to trust people. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? And how many times are you going to say it? And he's like, well, you're amazing, Fred. You're amazing and wonderful, Fred. Can I kiss you? And my note is, he's so red-faced and gross.
Yes. And she's like,
nah, you're amazing, huh?
And so then, she just loves that Louis gets her and understands her. And then they kiss. And I don't know if you noticed this, but when they kiss, Teresa lets out all these little, like, tree noises. She starts going,
daughter.
Not good ASMR. ASMR tree.
Teresa was trying to talk in baby voice to him, which is so funny because she's already got baby voice. So Teresa talking baby voice is like, it's like, okay, you're in Edith Bunker territory now. Like, let's reel it in. Okay.
No. How's it go? Hey! Those were the daughters.
So then we do the typical Jersey opening where we see everybody doing whatever in their house. Dolor, where are you?
He will never. At some point, Frank is just going to have to walk into a kitchen and just on spec that she'll be there. He'll just have to walk in and not have to scream. He'll just have to wait 30 seconds while he walks from the door through the living room to get into the kitchen to find her. Delore, where are you? Delore! Oh, there you are. There you are, Delores. Okay. All right. Let's have our scene.
I think it's got to be really frustrating to be a dollar store employee when these two come in. Delore! Yes, everything. Delore! Every single thing here, sir. Delore! Delore. I'm telling you, everything is a dollar, sir.
So Dolores is picking out Halloween costumes for the dogs, and the dogs are acting up, which means we get Dolores going, hi, 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 hi. Frank, shut the fuck up. What do I do? I'm just that. The dogs have aggravated me, Frank. That's all.
I'm picking out costumes for the dog, Frank, like I'm some bitch on the street. All right.
I was just walking down the street like some bitch on the street picking out costumes.
This one's going to be a taco. And I was like, wow, this show really is different from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Because that one had like a whole season fighting against dogs being turned into tacos. This one's straight up advocating for it. It's nuts.
Well, also, like a dog Halloween costume on Beverly Hills is going to be some weird Chanel tracksuit. And or if it's at Lisa Vanderpump's house, some like tutu with frills and bells and like a shawl and like a turban. And then here it's like, it's a taco.
It's a taco. Frank, so a taco. Jen at her house, she's like, you know, the first year we had Halloween here, I thought no one's going to come to this house for candy. I mean, it's just so big. The driveway's so long. So now I give away 4 candy bars and they're worth it, baby.
You should have seen the fox in the block when he came up here, because he got a full candy bar. Full Hershey bars for foxes on the blocks, baby.
Jackie's cutting pumpkins with her kid and her kids. And she's like, I'm worried about giving you saws to cut these things. And one of them's like, I'm going to stab it. He just starts stabbing the pumpkin.
I think her instinct is correct. Her instinct is correct. Keep the saws out of the children's hands. They're like...
Yeah. On over at Marge and Joe's. Oh, what do you mean, cranky pants, me, Joe? You know what? Cranky take pants. A shower. All right.
Take a shower.
Take your cranky pants and take a cranky shower, Joe.
All right. Coming this spring from the Macbeth collection, cranky pants, available exclusively at Marge Mart, okay? So Joe is annoyed because they're doing more renovations and they're putting in countertops in the kitchen, but the floors are not done and there's going to be tables coming in. And she's like, you know, Joe, I mean, you know, okay, guess what? It has to be done by the party, okay? Because it's only 4 days into the party. And then we see, like, Lexi working on invitation, being like, look at this invitation! Isn't this beautiful invitation for people to come to the party?
And they have a COVID test required thing on the invitation, but then they just laugh because they know that shit ain't going to happen. So then we go to Joe dancing. Joe is dancing. Why is Joe dancing? Someone pointed this out to me, and I never noticed it in the opening where they show the family behind the house.
I noticed that too last night.
Never noticed it until I read someone pointed out, and I was cracking up when it came on the screen. In the opening, Melissa's doing her dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and Joe's behind her going, yeah.
Yeah, that's the last time was the first time I noticed it too. I can't believe I wasn't paying more attention during a Melissa Gorga moment. So speaking of which, we're now at Melissa's house. And so this party, we're going to be going to a Halloween party that's sort of maybe, it's Halloween, November, obviously approaching November. But we know this is shot we're cobbling together stuff for this final episode because in this scene, the trees are fully green and the kids are going outside to eat and Joe will be ultimately grilling outside. I was like, okay, so it's not even an attempt to try to make this seem like it's happening in late October, but that's fine. So
yeah, and then they were showing us Jen. They showed us like Jen decorating for Halloween, but then was her foyer decorated for Halloween in the scene right after this? I don't know. The whole thing is very confusing.
Yeah, they clearly had a COVID outbreak and they had to stop production for several weeks because it probably was
probably.
You know, going around from husband to husband to husband, you know, as they like, yeah. All right, guys, guess what? I got COVID. Well, we can still do poker night, okay? And then like, oh, guys, guess what? I got COVID. Like every time they're just about to get out of the 2-week quarantine.
You could get COVID from someone putting their balls in your mouth.
Listen, if Frank gets COVID, that's going around all of New Jersey just based on the amount of spit he puts out. Oh, Dolores! Oh, well, that's 10 people right there.
I know people who live around Frank are going to continue to wear masks forever. You know, it's like, wow.
Just in general.
Yeah, the face shield.
Shields. They're like, cool, we had known all this time.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Melissa and Joe are preparing steaks for their kids, and everyone's on their phone. And Melissa, of all people, goes, does anyone get off their phones for like 2 minutes? That's always been Jen's thing. Like, there's Melissa just posing on a phone again.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the most tired things. Everyone's always on their phone. And so then Joe Gorga tells Antonia, why don't you learn how to cook instead of sitting there with that phone? I mean, what's that phone going to do for you? Nothing, okay? I'm like, I'll tell you what that phone's going to do for her. It's going to give her some idea, like life, world exposure to worldviews that are larger than what you are teaching these kids, Joe Gorga.
Yeah, no kidding. So then she starts in again. She's like, you know what? I'm frustrated. I'm sick of fighting with you, Joe, about me being a strong, independent woman. And he's like, listen, as much time as you put into your brand, you got to put into your relationship, all right? And she's like, but I sat home for 10 years, Joe, and I could have said the same thing to you, but I let you fly. I was sitting at home while you were out there working. And he's like, yeah. And then what happened when I got home? You was there for me, you know? When I got home, I was there for you, you know? That's all I'm asking. All right. You know, I have to say, maybe it's because Melissa just gets on my goddamn nerves and causes all these problems and then yells at everybody else for them, which we'll get to later. But I kind of see what he's saying. He's not saying, like, stay home. He's saying, I support you in everything, but, like, at least come home at some point and be nice to me. Am I wrong?
I think there's, like, you know, I mean, Joe had some points, but overall, I think he's very needy. Remember, this is a guy who got mad at her for getting into the van before him. So, like, what his definition is of attention, I think is where things get a little murky. Like, yes, you should pay attention to your mate. And he's saying, oh, when I would come home, you were my number ones. But what time did he get home, right? Like, it's a little bit of a shaky ground. I think that, like, yes, he built some shelves. And he built a music studio, so he was supportive, but then he's not emotionally supportive.
He built some shelves. Well, I think this explains it. When he says, you know, when this all started with her, like, it felt good, you know, because I was included. But then the past few years, she just wants to do it herself. So I think they're talking about the show, right? Like,
yeah,
when this all started, he was going to all the parties with her because he's part of the show, too. I mean, he really is more than, I think, any of the other husbands on the other shows. Like, he is a star of this show too, you know? And sometimes he's the reason they're on it, first of all. And I think he's the reason that they stay on it too. So he's like, why does she get to do everything? And she's leaving me here while she's going to all these parties for the show. Right. That's what I'm getting from it.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that, I think he's just like jealous and feels left out, and he wants to be part of like this limelight as well. And I think they still go to things together, but I think he wants to go to every single thing together. I think he just has weird abandonment issue things. So, you know, he's like, and now he's saying things about like, now you're doing your work and you got bit by the bug. And she's like, what's the bug? And he says, the bug is making your own money. Like, oh, I want to go bigger. I want to go bigger. And that's kind of where, like, at least as he says it, it feels chauvinistic. It feels condescending. Like, oh, she has a woman who has ambition, therefore has a bug, you know?
So you got a sickness, huh? You want to make your own money, you're sick. I think he's saying that once you get addicted to the money and the power and stuff, it's never enough. So you want more and you want more, and then you're like, oh no, I'm going to this event and that event, and I'm gonna get richer. And in my family, that's called making an effort. So I'm not really sure why that's such a bad thing. But I wish I could get the goddamn bug. Like, I'd do anything I could to get that bug. That's always what I've needed. The bug. Okay.
The bug. What I need, the bug.
And he goes, look, everyone likes to make money. It makes you feel more powerful. And she's like, yeah. She's like, you got it. Like, you have your personal success, and I raise your kids for you, and I want to have this empowerment, you know? And I just don't understand why he doesn't see that for her. Like, she obviously – I think he's just –
Well, he's saying that he does see it for her. He just wants her to be nice to him occasionally. So who knows? You know what? We're having to speculate and make up a lot of this stuff because all we really know is what they're telling us, which is not everything. And frankly, I don't really even believe it because it seems to be coming out of nowhere. And it's the same fight for years and years and years. So I'm not really sure. But we're just like, well, it's probably this and maybe this, but we have no idea because they only show us this surface part, you know? Not that I really need to get into a deeper place with these two, but still, like, who cares? We're getting worked up is what I'm saying. Ben.
Yeah, I would say that based on past seasons worth of evidence and his attitude towards her working and also the bullshit entrepreneurial endeavors that she has to endure, like shredding services and pasta restaurants and all sorts of other things that they have to put their money into, I think she's entitled to run her stupid little boutique and for Joe just to shut up about it because she was there.
Well, but there, it sounds like it's pasta. Not the boutique. It sounds like it's the, you know, the parties and all the Jersey, the Real Housewives of New Jersey stuff. But I don't know. Again,
yeah. But how much did he include her in what she, in what he was doing? You know,
I don't know. So, I'm, yeah,
and literally
I'm
who cares? Like yeah, literally I like, no one, it's like the most like soulless argument we've ever had on this podcast.
It really is. And it just like keeps going. Cause it's the same thing every single episode. And then we just, we're like, we're over this. And then we still argue about it for 20 minutes. And it's like, is anything solved? Like, nothing is solved.
Why? Why? We just, because we just like to take stances. Yeah. So speaking, let's go on to something more celebratory. Let's go to Jennifer's house for Jennifer and Bill's 18th wedding anniversary. And they've set up a table in the foyer, as one does. When you have a mansion with a dedicated dining room, what better way to use that space than to just put a table in a big empty foyer? So they do that, and Bill walks in and goes, "Hello, happy anniversary, girlfriend. You're as good as you were 18 years ago."
He literally goes, "Hello, happy anniversary." Ah,
oh, yeah, baby, baby.
And Olivia comes down dressed to the nines, of course. And she's like, "Hello, mommy. Hello, daddy, baby." And she has planned this whole thing. And actually, Gabriella is missing, which I don't approve of. She's studying at her girlfriend's house because she has a big test tomorrow. What the hell? Get your ass on your TV. Like, I need to see you. I love you. It's the last episode of the year. I need to see how my little Gabriella's doing.
Yes. Also, you're studying for a big test of the year, so that way you can be successful, go out into the world. Well, guess what? When you go out into the world, you know what you're going to learn? The value of a free gourmet meal. Get your ass back to the table, Gabriella.
Yes. So let's see. Jen's
She has the most common sense to get out of this mess. To get out of this mess before it ruins her.
Yeah, so Jen's like, "Oh, you know, Olivia had this idea in her mind that a romantic dinner would keep us in love, baby. Of course, the stuff with my mom put a damper on things, but fuck her. If she doesn't want to sit on my Z-Gallery furniture, she doesn't have to, baby."
And Olivia's just sitting there, hamming it up for the camera. She has, like, her hands behind her, below her chin. She's like, "Bling, bling, 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 bling." Like, I'm a little angel Olivia. I'd be like, "Thank you guys for coming to my meal."
She is. She goes, "Thanks to you guys, we're all alive, baby."
And Bill goes, "Thanks, sister."
So the first course comes out, and it's some kind of, I don't know, meat on a little polenta thing. And the kids are like, "Ew, that's not peanut butter." And Justin's like, "Yeah, I told my brother I'd give him $100 if he'd eat it, baby." And she's like, "I'm not going to eat it. Ew."
And yeah, Olivia's like, "No, I really don't want to have it because I don't like the taste, mother." And Jennifer's like, "Oh, this gourmet food is wasted on children, baby. Where's that fox on the block? I'm sure he wants some of it, huh?"
"Well, let's have a toast to the first 18 years. 18 years ago, when Jen said yes." "Oh, wait, I never asked."
"Back in those heydays of 2001, the elder arranged it. I showed up without a ring.
So he gave me a cross. I mean, what's worse? A cross or a pizza bagel, am I right, everyone? Go on, Bill, tell the rest of the story."
Yeah, a cross. I mean, I get being broke, but at least twist up a twisty tie from the garbage or something. I mean, who gives a crucifix to somebody? It's like that. Do you know what Jesus went through? He went through that crucifix represents a lot of pain. Okay. It's like, here, this man was tortured and starved for days at a time before he passed away. Want to get married, bitch? Let's do it.
So then, like, more food comes out, curly fries and stuff, and then Bill all of a sudden gets down on his knees, and Jennifer's like, "What are you doing, Bill? What you doing down there, baby?" And he's like, "Well, on 2001, we had our second date. From the time I laid my eyes on you, I said, 'That's the one. That's your color, girlfriend. Always wear it.' And then I thought, you know what? I should marry her. So I asked her, 'Would you be the mother of my children, girl?' And she said, 'Yes, baby.'" Mm.
And it's a huge, huge ring. She's like, "Oh, baby, I've always wanted a yellow diamond." And one of the kids, this is such a Gen Kids thing to say, "How many carrots is that?" He's like, "A carrot for every year."
"Oh, Bill, I've always wanted a diamond that looked like someone peed in it a little bit. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I always wanted a nicotine stained diamond, baby. I just know I'm the luckiest girl in the world. I wish my mom wasn't so dumb, but she didn't get the fairy tale, and I did. So I just like to say, ha ha, stupid. You should have come sit on my couch when they gave you a chance, mama, baby."
Yeah, and the kid goes, we pull out and we just see the exterior, and a kid goes, "Happy anniversary." And she goes, "I just got a huge ring." Wow, these kids are going to be monsters. They're just raised with just like, "Get a ring, get a ring, get a ring."
Oh, yeah. So then we go to Dolores's, and she's like, "Hey, little taco dog, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a brand new house. You're going to have your own house. You're going to have a pool. You're going to have some woman you don't treat like some bitch off the streets. It's going to be great."
"You guess what, taco dog? It's going to be a wonderful new place. You are literally going to have some bitch because I'm going to bring you a girl dog, okay? And you guys can have sex. It'll be like going to a taco bar. It'll be a taco on top of a taco, okay? You guys have fun, all right?"
So outside, Frank is coming up with the workmen because they're going to start work on her house, which is why she's getting a new house. And he's like, "All right, guys, let's get one thing straight. You listen to me, all right? Not Dolores, okay? So let's come in here. Take this wall out to this floor. Take this floor down." And she's like, "So we're going to take this wall from here to here, right?" And he's like, "We're going to do it from here to here because it's got to be even. Why are you giving me that look? Well, you're going to be ecstatic with whatever I do, Dolores, all right?" She's like, I'm ecstatic, Frank. You know what? "Hey, guess what, Daniel? I control my own life now, all right? Guess who's in charge of her own destiny? This bitch off the street.
I'm this bitch. You also are giving them a slightly too much credit because Frank is like, "Dolores, you're going to be ecstatic, ecstatic." And she's like, "I'm already ecstatic. You're so ecstatic, right? You'll be so ecstatic. I'm so ecstatic, Frank. When everything is done and said, not said and done, but when everything done and said, you will be more ecstatic than any ecstatic person has ever felt ecstatic before."
So he's like, "Dad, where'd you go, Dad?" And she says, "You know what, Daniel, how do you even stand this? You know what? I used to be married to this, okay? And this is why we're not married anymore." It's like, "Oh, yeah, this is why." Dolores.
So Frank has like a circular sore. Hank has a circular sore. He probably does have a circular sore, but he has a saw. He has this saw, and I don't know. I got a little concerned for Frank because he's like sawing out the wall with this thing, and he has no safety goggles on, and all this dust is just like coming. All this drywall dust, no mask. Nothing. He's just like, "Here we go, Dolores. Here we go." I'm like, enjoy your self-created OSHA situation.
Yeah. Well, that's how I do home reno stuff too. So I can't. I'm like, hand me the glue, the saw, and a blowtorch. All right. We'll get this kitchen done in no time.
I see one speck of dust and I am like, I've got like five scarves around my mouth. I'm like, must be careful.
So Dolores tells us, "You know, when I was first married, you should have seen, you know, Frank would go out, he'd be gone all day. I would clean, I would cook, then I would clean again after the cooking. then we would eat. Guess what I would do? I would clean, because that's all I did. A woman did what the man says. And you know what, David? I don't have to answer to David for nothing. All right. And yeah, the girls need to be happy for me.
Yeah. Back in those days, I would cook, clean, walk to the living room, walk back to the kitchen, cook some more, look out the window, look at some bitch walk down the sidewalk past my window and think, what's she doing outside of her house? She's not allowed outside of her house yet. But you know what? When I got divorced, I had to learn real quickly how to get independent. I was pushed into the pool like some bitch walking too close to a pool. But you know what? I learned to swim.
So guess what? This party's coming up and I'm excited. I'm excited too, Dolores. No, but I'm really excited. No, I'm excited. I'm excited too. All right.
I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. I like it.
I like it. And she's like, how can these girls not be happy for me? And he's like, you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it with David. All right. You know what? Why is Joe calling people broken anyway? He was broken ever since he was born. He never grew past 5'3". You kidding me? You kidding me with this, Joe?
So now we go over to Teresa's house.
Girls, Melania and Gia.
I love that, like, Adriana and Gabriella are just officially just not part of the show anymore. She's just only calling Melania and Gia down for apple pie. So
she's
they're making
only
apple
calling
pie.
The people who smoke more than a carton a day down for apple pie. Both of these kids have turned into Marge Simpson sisters faster than I could have imagined. I mean, I imagine maybe later in their life they would turn into Melissa's sisters, you know? But it's happened so fast that they're like, hey, what are we doing, Mom? We're making an apple pie. We're making an apple pie. What do I got to use a knife? What am I going to cut myself with an apple pie? Give me a fucking break, Ma. All right.
So they basically sound like the twins that were on in that one season. So Teresa's just like, she's like, oh, Daddy just texted me. And so Teresa hasn't talked to Joe Giudice because she's pissed at him because he went on to Wendy Williams and talked about his girlfriend. And then she goes,
Nutmeg and Cinnamon.
Which I legitimately thought that that might have been the name of one of his girlfriends. Like either Nutmeg or Cinnamon, or maybe he just has two girls named Nutmeg and Cinnamon.
Yeah, Daddy's dating Nutmeg and Cinnamon. Yeah. I don't like him.
So she's mad, and Gia, of course, stands up for him, because that's what she does. She stands up for her dad. She's like, I don't think he meant anything bad by that, Ma. All right. She's like, yeah, but I don't like people in my business. Like, you're on a reality show. You're on television.
Yes. But they all are like, Melania's like, you know, 2 years ago I would have been like, Ma, you're gonna go on a date, what the hell? But now I'm like, please, Ma, go on a date, you're annoying us. How many apple pies do we have to destroy in this oven before you get out of this house?
Thank you, Melania. Thank you.
And then the recipe,
guess what Teresa says? She goes,
what?
You know what, I'm in the public eye, all right? So, like, I can't do just whatever I want, all right? Because I can't do that to my daughters after everything that they've been through, all right, in the public eye, all right?
Not only is she in the public eye, but she actually is a published cookbook author, and then she's reading a recipe, and the recipe says, okay, put the apples in the crust and then dot with butter. And she goes,
dot with butter? What did that mean? Dot with butter? Huh? Like, how do you dot with butter? How do you do that, Gia?
And Gia's like, I don't know. What do I look like, Betty Crocker?
Oh, Betty Crocker. Is that your dad's girlfriend, huh? Huh?
No. You misunderstood me. His girlfriend is Dot the Butter. All right? Dot with butter.
Dot the Butter. You know how there's like Jimmy the Neck? There's Dot the Butter also.
Dot with butter. All right?
And then Teresa's like, I don't know how to dot with butter, so I'm just going to rub butter all over it. I'm like, okay, great. Treat your apple pie like it's a Thanksgiving turkey. It actually will probably be delicious. I don't see how that actually could go wrong, but I just love that she cannot understand the concept of making little pieces of butter and sprinkling them on top of her apples.
As a
published cookbook author.
Hi, I'm Dot with Butter. Is Joe here?
Hi, I'm Dot with the butter lobby. Do you use margarine? Let me tell you about butter. Okay, I'm Dot, and I have lots of news for you about butter.
So then
I'm that bitch on the sidewalk.
I'm that Dot with a butter bitch from the street. All right. So everybody's getting ready for this Halloween party. Jackie is getting in a share. costume, and she's putting like a wig that looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And she's like, yeah, if you ever want to pretend I'm your girlfriend from the gym, Evan, ha ha ha, that was funny, wasn't it, Evan? Look how we can laugh at it now.
Yeah. And then Jennifer is like, I got a Madonna from the Blonde Ambition to her costume. But the kids are like, who's that? So I said, let's go with someone a little bit more current, baby. So I got Jello.
I have children who don't know who Madonna is. Burn the house down. That's what I say.
J-Lo's got nothing on you, baby.
I'm going to turn it up tonight, baby.
He's like, you're only having two shots tonight, Jennifer. A wink.
Waiting for tonight. Hey.
So then over at Teresa's house, Priscilla's getting her ready, and she's pulling up these pink tights because Teresa's going to be cotton candy.
All right.
Yeah.
And she's pulling up her tights, and she's like, oh, my God, there's, like, cobwebs up here. How does Priscilla sound like she's 30 years younger than Gia and Melania?
Jersey is just, like, nothing really makes sense in Jersey, I think. Like, it's where – it's like the Twilight Zone, time and – concepts get turned upside down. Also, I'm a little upset because all season long during the opening credits, we've been seeing Teresa in her cotton candy costume. And I think you mentioned this in like the second week of the show. Every single week, it's Teresa and she goes, I'm still sweet. And I was like waiting for the proper I'm still sweet contextual moment of this episode. And it never came. I was waiting. I was like, she's going to say she's still sweet, but she never said it.
Yeah, you know, that's why it's rough, starting with the end at the beginning. I think the producers at the end were like, you know what? We want to go a new way with this. So Melissa and Joe are dressing as mermaids and merman. And it's like, you know, Joe, you know, we got to match together because that's what we always do. So I'm going to be the mermaid and you're going to be the merman. He's like, what? Merman? I never heard of no merman. Huh? Huh? Is he gay? Is he some kind of gay guy? I ain't never heard of that.
I guess we're just going to ignore King Triton. I guess that's what we're going to do. One of the hottest daddies in all of Disney.
I guess that's Joe acting like he doesn't know all the lyrics to The Little Mermaid, I'm sure. You know, all that time he's spending alone in that house, he's like, isn't it rich? Isn't it sweet? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete, huh? Hey. Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who got everything, am I right?
Well, he sits and looks at the photos of Melissa on splash images, and he's like, I just want to be part of her world.
He gets in the water, and he grows a third leg. He's like, whoa, look at that. Look at that.
Under the sea. Under the sea. Everything's better down where it's wetter. You know what I'm saying, Melissa? Hey.
Le poussée, how I love le poussée, huh? Ain't no gay, all right?
So, yeah, he's like, I never heard of no merman. And she's like, he's very manly, Joe. He catches mermaids. I'm like, really? That's what mermen do?
No, like, literally not. They, like, coexist. They coexist with mermaids. Mermen are not predators. Again, they are not old cavemen that are a little bit more advanced than Australopithecuses. So Joe,
yeah, but
so
on
Joe,
all days,
Joe...
that's what mermaids did, all right? Mermans, all right? They would chase a mermaid and catch it. I'm like, only the Gorgas could turn mermaids and mermen into, like, some assault fantasy, you know?
Yeah, and I love that once Melissa frames it, like, that there's a predatory aspect to it, he's like, So the mermaid catches the mermaid and bangs her all night long. I'm going to be a merman. Yeah. I'm like, are you? That sounds like... rapey. That sounds rapey.
Yeah, so it does. Captures like, her I and bangs now, her all right? Yeah,
hey,
I can catch.
Yeah, rape fantasy. Mermaid rape fantasy. Yeah.
Right.
No.
You know what? Who I'm going to be? I'm going to be Morticia. All right. Is this dress nippiest? It's the nippiest. All right. You know what, Joe? I want to get ready in the 100 Dalmatians room. Okay, Joe? You know, no design would make people feel more comfortable than reminding them of Cruella de Vil, Joe. I mean, they have Dalmatians wallpaper in this room. They really went all out on this house. Wow.
A lot of patterns.
This is not a house you designed for resale. You know, for anyone who watches HGTV, they're like, you know what? You want wallpaper? Okay. But you know what? We got to think about the resale value. Okay.
Yeah. And then we see the finished kitchen, which has like super veiny countertops with super veiny walls with super patterned floors. And just like, I'm just surprised there weren't like zebra pattern, you know, curtains. I was just like,
They did have patterned curtains as well. I mean, this is like a very bold house.
Okay. I thought that I was, if I crossed my eyes, I was going to see a peace sign. I was like, you know, there's a lot of patterns.
It did remind me how much I want to see Cruella, though. Cannot wait to see Cruella. Yeah, and I love that Disney's making it. What the fuck is Disney doing making a movie about an animal killer? They're like, isn't it fun, boys? Hey, kids, come watch a movie about Cruella, the most horrifying creature in all the world.
Have two Emmas in it. I don't think we've ever had a movie in the history of cinema that's had two leads named Emma.
Right. Yeah. A double Emma. Emma.
What'd you say?
Egna. Egna?
Eggnog. Yeah. Nutmeg and Cinnamon, starring Nutmeg and Cinnamon. I'm excited for Emma Thompson. I mean, Emma, the other Emma. She's fine, but
I'm starring in Cruella. I love Emma. What's her face? Don't you
I love her?
Start
Emma,
with her.
Not Emma Watson. Emma, you know, La La Land. Emma.
Yeah, I
like
her
too, but I just feel like
I don't like her. I love her. Okay, so if you mess with me, I'm gonna come for you.
Love
yes,
her?
I love her.
I mean,
yes.
I feel like she's. I feel like she. I like Emma. We've got Emma Thompson,
Emma Stone,
Emma Stone. I like Emma Stone. I like Emma Stone. I don't love Emma Stone, though.
I love Emma Stone. You know why I love her? Because I feel like I should hate her, but I don't. Like, I really like her. Like, with every movie she comes out, and I'm like, I'm going to hate this girl. Because it just seems like, oh my God, look, that hot, popular girl is, like, doing a lead in a movie. It's like, ah. But she's always so great and quirky and just different. And I like that she's changed smoke since she was two. And I just loved her in La La Land. I love that she left the musician to go be famous. I thought that was just so romantic. Like, I love the whole choosing your career over true love with a guy who's, you know, only going to sit there and play the same two notes on the piano for the rest of his goddamn life.
Literally
you know?
A douchebag. I like that she looks like a young version of Laura Palmer's mother in Twin Peaks. I like
does.
That. That's whatever that actress is.
I
Grace.
See your future.
Her name, the actress's name is Grace something.
Yeah,
other.
She's like, great
Grace,
too. Okay, yep. the point is, Marge is getting ready for her party, right? So she's basically Larry Scott is doing
Larry
this
Scott's
party
here.
Again. He's like, I've done your party. Is that gorgeous? And he just drags out to all the old things, you know, the wall of skulls and all that stuff. He has like a whole Marge section in his warehouse that he just whips out whenever she needs a party.
I was wondering if he was going to recycle the Melissa Gorga blinds that he had for Melissa's party, where like the blinds would come down. It was Melissa Gorga. Dolores is back. Dolores is back. Dolores the hummingbird. Dolores is currently looking for that bitch on the street who has Nesta. She is all over. Dolores the hummingbird is back and busy out my window.
It just sounds like we both moved into the middle of a forest, the way we talk on this show lately. It's like, there's a lizard, there's a hummingbird, there's a spider. Oh my God. Like, there's little creatures coming into this show every day.
Dolores was really, she's gone now, but she was really, is Frank here? Frank, are you here? Where's Frankie? You got the nectar, Frankie? No? Okay. All right. I'll get dressed.
You hear a wind chime. It's the little Dolores blowjob bell outside. All right, Frankie, get the bell, Frankie. Come on. Okay, so let's see. Melissa and Joe are still talking. So now we turn to the Joe. Do not fight with people today. Halloween is my absolutely favorite time of the year, Joe. I do not want to argue. He's like, I don't start nothing, all right? You and Margaret jump on the bandwagon and you set me off, which is true. You know, like they start this whole thing and then Joe gets it. Now, Joe really does take it to the point where he's just being a gross chauvinist, which is another word we hear 90 times today. But he is acting like that. But they do get him all mad. And then he says something and they're like, Joe, how could you?
Well, I don't know. I have little sympathy for Joe on the topics from today. So
I don't have sympathy, but it's like Melissa starts all this stuff and then gets all mad at Joe, you know, like she started all that stuff about she's been hounding Dorinda, could you imagine? She's like, Dorinda, do something. How dare you, bitch? You better back it up. I've got a friend named Dada Butter that's going to kick your ass, bitch. But she is the one for weeks. She's like, oh, Dolores, are you going to marry? Is he going to give you a ring yet? Oh, wow, what a nice room that you don't she live in because you don't live it. Here, Dolores. It's like she goes on and on and on. But, you know, then Joe jumps in on it. And she's like, Joe, you shouldn't say stuff like that.
Yeah, she has been throwing Marge under the bus about this show and this comment for a long time now. And by a long time, I mean like an episode, but that's a long time.
And then she goes to him and says, Marge calls you a chauvinist. And then he gets mad. And she's like, why are you mad at Marge? Because you started it. Why would you start it?
Yeah, why would you throw your friend under the bus like that?
And your husband.
Well, it's her husband,
like,
though.
She takes turns. She throws her husband under the bus to the friends under the bus to the husband, and then they talk to each other, and everyone else is at fault. Like, how about, you know, having a little respect for the people in your life? Stop throwing everybody under the bus to each other. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So now people are arriving at the party, and there's Jackie and Evan, and it's like a lot. Great costumes, by the way. I have to applaud everyone who showed up at this party. They really went above and beyond. And that goes for our little friend Dave Quinn, who I spotted, you know, in his little Wednesday Addams costume. Hi, Dave.
Oh, hi, honey.
And sorry, I didn't also mean to totally demonetize him by being like, our little friend. It's our friend, Dave Quinn. And we see all these people. Emily the Ghost Rider is there, and Bill and Jennifer shows up. So Jennifer is J-Lo and Bill is is Prince. This is what it sounds like when the doves cry. That's a dove crying.
It was between topic. This and Queen, but I figured that this was less on the nose.
I was thinking about being each and every one of the Bangles, but I thought, let's just keep it simple.
Talk about a manic Monday, am I right?
Ooh, talk about an eternal flame. Yes, burning.
I'm ready to turn up, baby.
Jen just like comes into this party. Every time they cut to the Jen, she's... Cut to the Jen. To the she's Jen. At the bar getting another drink, and she's drinking tequila on the rocks. They're like, here's what this person's doing. Here's what this person's doing. Jen,
give me a drink, baby. I'll take tequila on the rocks in Spider Town. Let's turn it up, baby.
Oh, shut up.
I have to say, by the way, it just occurred to me right now. I think that Jen rocked that J-Lo dress very well. I mean, that's not an easy dress to rock, and she actually rocked it, so props to Jen on that one. You did it, baby.
So Dolores comes in dressed like a mummy, and she's dragging around an IV, which I thought was really funny. Like an odd choice there. And Bill sees her and goes, who's Dolores? Oh, isn't that funny? Dolores even dressed broken. She's broken.
Yeah, I love Dolores's exceedingly macabre costume. Reminds me of a story of a friend of mine who she was invited to adult Halloween, like an adult Halloween party, but she sort of like lives in a different kind of reality a little bit, and she didn't really understand what adult Halloween was. So, you know, everyone shows up in, you know, like
she dressed
like
as a Bill.
Everyone dressed, you know, either like slutty or like pop culture figures, all that kind of stuff. And she said she showed up dressed as an M&M. Like a big circle M&M with the gloves.
For all those people with an M&M fetish.
Yes.
Was she at least a green M&M?
I didn't get that far in the story.
Because those make you horny.
Green M&Ms, the sluttiest of all the M&Ms.
Yeah. So Dolores is talking to Marge, and she's like, you know, I haven't seen Melissa since the that other party at that stupid lady's house, Michelle. You know, my problem, I'm going to tell you right now, my problem was the pole. Okay. You know, like the thing with Joe, I know Joe, like he's a pig. Okay. I get it. But you know, I'm not offended about that. And Marge is like, but I'm offended for you because we can't just give Joe a pass because he's little adorable Joe Gorka. Okay, you know, we have to say something even to adorable people. They don't all have to be Weinsteins to get in trouble in this home, okay? Cute people get in trouble as well.
And Dolores' logic is, you know what, but with Joe, he doesn't discriminate. He speaks like that to his own wife, too. That's literally the worst defense I've ever heard of caveman behavior. Well, that's fine. He talks to his wife that way.
I think what she's saying is like, Joe, I know Joe. I'm not mad at him. Melissa's the one going around making this an issue in every single episode. Like, it's we're all changing it to be mad at Joe, and that's what I see. It's like everyone's changing it to be Joe is, but Joe doesn't help himself because Joe was acting like a total pig, you know. So it's like, well, you can't really.
Yeah, but I don't think. I mean, I think yes. So Melissa talking behind Dolores's back, her frustration makes total sense over that situation. Joe, but the thing is with Joe is that it's not just that he was being a boor to Dolores and about Dolores. It's that he actually like singled her out in front of an entire party and told everyone at this party that she's a broken woman. People that she doesn't even know. So she's mad at Melissa for holding a poll in front of people that she doesn't know. But actually Joe Gorga said that she is damaged goods in front of people that she doesn't even know. And so it's just weird to me. I get the whole thing that she knows Joe. She knows that what he was saying was not coming from maliciousness. But at the same time, that was kind of a public humiliation. And it's just a little weird to me that she just kind of writes that off.
Yeah, that's true. So then Melissa comes in for some kisses and she's still ordering drinks, which is hilarious. Squeeze that line, baby. And then Jackie and Dolores are comparing asses. And Jackie's like, oh, my God, I've got such a little ass compared to yours now. Dolores is like, it's like the before and after.
Yeah. And just more drinks. And, like, Frank's dressed like Joe Exotic. So he's got a mullet. And then Joe Gorga's in the mullet. By the way, Joe Gorga as a merman, I'm not going to lie.
So hot.
So hot. Like, absurdly hot. I don't know why it was so hot.
He had, like, so hot. And I think he's even got, like, drawn-on abs. Now yeah, he's doing the full drawn-on abs. Oh, my God. I don't even care. It's so cute. Smudge them all over me.
I think it was just having that one nipple out. That one pec that was just out and then some ab. Like a little bit of ab. I was like, ooh.
You know what? I'm even liking his beard sculpting, which normally I don't like that. But I think it's, like, so cute on him. It looks like a cartoon. You know, like how Popeye always has, or like Homer Simpson always just has that line. Oh, yeah. It's Homer Simpson. Yeah. Well, getting into the Simpsons today. Yeah.
I will say, I don't understand why Joe Gorga looks like he always just went skiing, right? Like, his face is always, like, really red. like he just had, like, snowbird or
always, yeah, it's like he always just, like, snorts roids right before he goes anywhere. And his veins are popping out all over his head. I mean, I'll have what he's having.
Oh, he's so hot.
Whatever it is working. Oh, my
God. He is so hot. Wow. Like, the legacy of King Triton is alive and well in Joe Gorga. So Melissa walks up to Jennifer at one point by the bar, and Jennifer goes, hey, guess what? So I know you love J-Lo. I know J-Lo's kind of your thing, but it's time to share, baby, because I'm a fan too. I'm a fan. And Melissa's like, oh my God, girl, you rock it. Of course, of course. And you know, Melissa was pissed off. Joe, I'm always J-Lo. I'm the one that they say is J-Lo. And now she's trying to do that. I don't like this girl. Okay. And if she throws another fork at me, I'm going to remind her that she is not J-Lo. She is not J-Lo.
She throws another fork at me. You know
that was the conversation.
So then Jackie is asking where Teresa is. And and Dolores goes, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. She's a sweet motherfucker.
Did I get my fake blood on you? Sorry. Mm. So, so Teresa shows up as cotton candy. And she did not bring Louis. So and she's like,
no, I'm taking things slow, you know.
I'm a public persona, so ring. So then we just see Marge Senior meeting Michelle, and she goes, oh, I'm Marge Senior. I'm known as Marge Senior. So that was really cute.
Then, I'm a public figure.
Yeah, I'm a public figure. So Dolores and Frank are talking, and Frank makes some comment about his smooth ass or something. And Dolores
shaving,
is like,
shaving between the cheeks.
Yeah, Dolores is like, Frank, you shave between your ass cheeks? And he's like, yeah, Dolores. Come on, Dolores. And Jen goes, yeah, but I'm married to a surgeon, so I get my laces, baby. Get in there. Get in all the nuts and the crannies. She's like lifting her leg up in the air. And like,
are you a Thomas's English muffin?
All the nuts and crannies, baby.
I'm like, there should just really be one crease, not nooks and crannies. And so then Dolores gets offended. This is what pushes Dolores' button. She goes, nooks and crannies. I'm sorry. Is this a college party? This is a party at a friend's house. and a friend that doesn't like you drinking. Chill out, Jen. So suddenly Dolores is treating it like this is a wet, like a black tie wedding. Dolores, you're dressed in bandages and have blood coming from all your nooks and crannies.
Yeah. And you were just talking to your ex about shaving his asshole. So but Jen is just wasted and making an ass out of herself, shockingly. And so Dolores is like, oh, you know what? I'd love to eat. Have you eaten, Jen? And she's like,
You know what? Hell no, I didn't eat. Yeah, hair this asshole. Yeah, nooks and crannies, baby.
My God.
And then she goes up to the buffet and she goes, these shrimps are fucking jumbo, baby. Get these into my nooks and crannies. Shrimps and crannies.
So then Jen and Melissa and I don't know, a bunch of girls are talking. And they're like, oh, geez. And then Jen drop her plate. She's like, whoops, I dropped the pig in the blanket, baby. And Marge's like, Jen is racist. She's all over the place. It's crazy. Like, she's dropping food all over my new patio, Joe.
Meanwhile, Jen looks like she's having the best time of her life. I mean, Frank is acting like more of a buffoon, you know? But just that Marge is just super sensitive to everything that Jen does right now. So then Dolores... So then Jen sits down with Dolores, and Dolores goes, are you drunk? Are you like that bitch on the street without the nectar that I'm always going to be like, you got nectar, she doesn't have nectar, you drunk like her? You drunk like her?
She's, I'm not judging.
Yes, I'm drunk.
It's like, I'm not judging, though. All right.
Yeah, not at all.
So
Dolores.
Then Marge gives her speech, and it's very like anti-Jen, which is funny. She's like, I just wanted to say thank you so much to the most important person in my life who's not an alcoholic at all. His name is Joe. Joe, I'd like to thank you for all the work you've done, shockingly, without drinking too much at a party. Joe, thank you for the walls you've built, the wallpapers you've put up, and all the alcohol you haven't drunk while you're getting food all over my new patio. Okay, drunk person.
Joe, I also want to say thank you for supporting me in everything that I do. And by means supporting, meaning that you let me walk out the door and then don't get me about it afterwards. Thank you for that, Melissa. I mean, Joe. I also want to say thank you for actually giving me a ring and not a Porsche. That was great, too. Who else? Jackie, I don't really have anything for Jackie. So thank you, everyone.
You know what? Thank you for letting me be the mermaid and you not coloring on a stomach to try and compete with me at a party. So thank you for that, Joe. Also,
thank you
you for not being a chauvinist pig in the blanket. You can get some pig in the blankets on the floor because that's where Jen dropped them. By the way, anyone looking for those? Okay.
Yeah, thank you for showing up at the actual party, okay, and not having this way my friends didn't have to beg over and over again for you to show up so we could see who you are. That's a double whammy for Tree and Dolores. Okay, a little bit of everything. I don't know what else. Thank you for not spreading your legs at a strip club. That's just for Danielle if she's watching at home. Who else?
So they kiss, and it's romantic, and Joe's so mad. He's, like, watching from across the room, like, I can't believe she called me a chauvinist, dang. So he's mad, and then we cut to Melissa, who hates living in the past so much, guys. It's only new times for Melissa from now on. She's going, I'm eating the biggest sugar cookie I can find, because I'm being revengeful.
She not only doesn't live in the past, she only uses proper English.
So... Let's turn the English, you know, it's Tringlish.
You know what? I am so ecstatic that you're not revengeful. So so then Teresa sits down with Jennifer and Dolores, and Jennifer goes, ha, fairy! And Teresa goes, I'm cotton candy!
So then we cut to Joe and Marge. Joe comes up to Marge, and he's like, you know what? She's like, how are you, Joe? You know, how are you doing, Joe? He's like, you know, I'm a chauvinistic guy. Is that what you're saying? I'm a chauvinistic guy? And she goes, you called her broken, Joe. He's like, come on, I'm giving my opinion, huh?
I love that.
That's chauvinistic. Stop. Joe, you're being chauvinistic. Just stop.
I love that he's allowed to give his opinion, but Marge is not allowed to have an opinion about his opinion. Right. Like, right?
Yeah. So then we cut to Dolores and Teresa, and she's like, you know what? What is everyone asking you where your boyfriend is, Teresa? Get used to it. All right. Welcome to my life. Welcome to my life without as good countertops as I have. All right. Welcome to my life without countertops that can take spilled dried pasta all over them.
You know what? Everyone's going to want to know about your relationship. Her, that bitch on the street. They're all going to want to know about it. Okay. And you don't have to say anything, especially not to that bitch on the street who's on the street being a bitch. Okay.
yeah, you know what? They're like, where's your thing? And I'm like, I'm a public figure, right?
And you know what I'm telling you? Do not let them get involved in your relationship. She goes,
yeah, I know. Even my brother runs his mouth.
So then back to her brother. Marge is like, but she says she's happy. He goes, but is she? Huh? I know what since she's four. All right.
Listen, I know what since she's four, and I think we all agree. The only thing that makes her happy is a Barbie, all right? Right? A little dolly, right? Because I know what since she's four. So I base everything on what she was, what she liked when she was four. I know what since she's four. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Some people think that the only way a woman can be happiness is with a relationship, and it's just not true. I mean, look at Melissa. You know, people change. Women don't just belong at home, Joe. All right? You just can't hold someone back. And he's like, just shocked, just looking around with his, you know, eyes looking all over the room and his veins are popping out.
Yeah. He's like, I don't hold her back. I know. I know you love her like a sister. Okay. Because I know that you and your sister also have had sex. And you, so I know you understand it. But So then Teresa's saying that she's like, well, maybe Melissa and Joe is broken. You know, maybe there's the broken one there, huh? Which is actually a surprisingly astute observation from Teresa.
Yeah. And then back to Marge, she's like, you know what? Things have evolved, Joe. And he goes, I know things have been evolved, all right? I live in 2021, all right? And she's like, Joe, things have changed. You've got to bend a little bit, okay? And then Melissa comes over like, hi, where have you guys been? Because she sees that they're arguing, and she's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
All the shit I've been talking about them to each other, they're now combining, you know? So she's like, what's going on, guys? And she's like, Joe is upset. I called him a chauvinist. You know what? And I said, evolve a little. That's what's going on.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't want to see my friends and my husband fighting with each other. That's the last thing I want to see, even though I pitted them against each other for the last two episodes.
Yeah. So then we just get a clip of, I think, Marge Sr. talking to a lady. Someone's talking to this lady, this random lady at a party. She goes, you look so pretty, honey. And she goes, I know. It took me 3 hours in the beauty parlor.
Yeah, this random woman who just crawled out of cafes. It's like, finally, I got out. I just wanted a chicken salad sandwich. I spent 3 hours in there. So now Melissa is with Teresa and Dolores, and she's like, so Marge called Joe a chauvinist. Can you believe that? And Dolores is like, oh, well, but Melissa, he was, okay? Anyone normal would feel that way. Even I, who is actually turns out to be a huge Joe apologist, even I feel that way.
And yeah, she's like, I'm happy my son has a blowjob bell, and even I think he's a chauvinist, okay? Like, seriously.
And Melissa's like, so did you just meet Joe yesterday? Of course he's a chauvinist. I'm like, Don't get mad at your husband about having chauvinist attitudes towards like a modern, quote unquote, modern woman who wants to go out and work. And then when someone says, oh, that was chauvinist, be like, oh, well, yeah, did you just meet him yesterday? Of course he is.
Yeah. And all really Joe has to say is, hey, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I was fucking with you and I'll stop. Sorry. But instead he's like, going crazier and crazier. So then, Marge is like, Joe's upset I called him a chauvinist. And Bill's like, does he not know when he's insulting a woman? I mean, can you believe my children don't know who Madonna is?
Bill winds up being kind of like the hero on the men's side here. He is like the only one who has like any sort of ability to
say like, anything to the guys. They're so shocked. And Marge is like, you know what, Bill? Thank you. That's all I'm trying to say, Bill. You know, I mean, you know, I'm trying to have this conversation with Joe. Then he orders this brontosaurus steak that's so big it tipped his car right over, right on my new patio. You know, that's all I'm saying.
You know, I think that Joe's just a little tired. He had to spend the entire night outside on the front stoop because guess what? His own pets locked him out the front door. I mean, it was a disaster. It was a total disaster. He spent, according to my friends or their neighbors, okay, this is all around. This is all around Tenafly. He spent the entire night banging on that front door. Bang, 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 bang. Okay, yelling, Melissa, Melissa. And she didn't even answer the door, okay? So he's a little salty today.
So Dolores is back to Dolores and Melissa and Tree. She's like, no, you know what, Melissa, I get it. But I'm more upset about the poll because you know what? Polls are fucked up. I mean, are they ever even right?
And Melissa's like, that was a rumor that Teresa started. Not that poll to Melissa. Okay. Not that poll.
Those polls I approve of because at least you're working for a living, you know? And Teresa goes, yeah, if someone took the poll about me, I'd be pissed off. I'm a public figure. And Melissa's like, oh,
literally,
right.
By the way, literally Teresa goes on to Watch What Happens Live a million times a year. And there's like, who do you believe has a better hairline, Teresa or a paper towel? It's like literally every time it's a poll about her.
And Melissa thinks that Teresa threw her under the bus again. And Melissa's like, you know, I get it, but I'm also guilty of thinking of it as a big crutch. Wait, what's she saying there? I don't know.
Melissa says, I'm also guilty of thinking.
I get it, but I also think that the Porsche is a bit of a crutch, right, and an excuse. And Dolores goes, well, that's a dumb thing to think. She goes, yeah, but it's not just me. It was Jennifer, Jackie. I mean, you know, the poll was not just one person. It sampled the entire neighborhood. Okay.
Says Melissa, who everybody just complained about Teresa throwing her under the bus. She is now like going down the entire cast. Like, they thought this, and they thought this, and they thought this.
Yes. And so she's like, and I'm just getting the brunt of it because of Joe. And then Marge is still talking about Joe. She's like, oh my God. I said, you know what? Get out of the cave. I said, you know what? You're crying into your diary right now by like using coal to write on a rock, and I'm sick of reading your pictures. All right, caveman, just stop it. Okay. Are they fighting over there? We've got to do something over there. Someone, hurry. Someone ask Jen if she shaves her asshole. That'll distract her.
So then Dolores is still talking, and she's, you know, you want your independence, and he's not even coming close to it. Okay, what if I took a poll? Okay, idiot, what if I took a poll? Is Joe and Melissa's marriage going to stay together? Okay, huh? All right, because she doesn't get her independence. And I would never have done that to you. I never would have taken a poll, even though I actually just took a poll. And I actually would like to have the answer to the poll. Does anyone want to raise their hands? Who thinks this marriage is going to fall apart? Me? Only me? Everyone. Oh, look, everyone. Everyone's raising their hands, Melissa.
And Marge goes, well, you know what? I told him he needs to stop being chauvinist, and that's it. And Melissa's like, well, yeah, but I've lived like this forever, and it's just I just can't flip a switch, and everything's going to be different. So then over with the guys, Joe goes over. He's like, boys, 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 you can't believe this shit that's going on. You know, Marge is making a big deal. You got Dolores making a big deal. And Benito's like, yeah, the girls are really busting his balls. And Bill goes, well, they do have a point, you know. And he's like, well, what am I supposed to do? He goes, you got to listen. You know, you just can't ignore what the person is saying.
You know, how do you even ignore someone when they say that you're being insensitive to them? I mean, it's like saying, who's Madonna? And then you say, how do you know who Madonna is? And then someone doesn't even respond, like when you're trying to teach them about Madonna. So
if your wife has ambition, you just need to support that and make sure it's blonde ambition.
Listen, some girls love me, some girls hate me. I just want to be Bill. You know what I'm saying? So Joe is just like, he's like, you're drunk, you're talking too much. And he goes, listen, it all comes down to listening. It comes down to listening. Using your ears. So when someone is saying something to you, you listen. And Joe's response, shut the fuck up. I'm like, so you're not listening about the advice about how you should be listening.
Yeah. So back to Melissa. She's like, I've been battling this for years. You can't feel what I'm battling through, you know? I don't need anyone calling my husband a male chauvinist pig, all right? He acts like that, but you don't get to call him like that. I mean, you saw me at the shore. I'm dealing with a lot, okay? And whatever I'm really dealing with, it's probably a lot more, okay? And Dolores is like, you know what? I'm just worried that what's going to become of you two if this isn't fixed, you know? I mean, listen, someday a man's got to see what he's going to lose, or then he's going to lose it. You know what I'm saying? You know, one minute the man doesn't know what he's losing. The next minute he's trying to argue with you about what size wall he's going to put in the house that you now live in that he doesn't get to because he lost it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. You understand that? You understand that dumb face? So then Joe comes over. He's like, hey, what's happening? And Melissa, you need to apologize for what you said to Dolores. He goes, oh, you think I meant anything by that, huh? You think I meant anything? Women, huh? Always misinterpreting things with their work and they're not staying home in the kitchen, right?
And Dolores is like, no, Joe, no, it's not even about that. And he's like, you know, I know you how long, like a sister. And she's like, yeah, but you know what, Joe, do you think because I'm independent that I'm not happy? And he goes, no, I love when women are independently choosing which man is going to help them because they're helpless. All right? Like, it's your choice, all right?
You know what? I'm sick of everyone telling me I'm holding Melissa back, okay? I've supported everything she's done, okay? I put a carpet in a boutique, okay? I bought a microphone, put it in the basement, okay? Like, you know, all I say is don't deprive me, okay? Like, don't forget. Like, we've got to grow together, okay?
With Gorga. So then basically Joe and Melissa walk off, right? And she goes, dude, you're not going to have a talk with these girls. Oh, no, she's telling the girls. You're not going to have a talk about a relationship with these girls, okay? You guys asked me 10 times not to talk about Joe Giudice. I threw some cheese. So do me a favor and do not talk about our marriage because then I have to deal with that. And you know what? If you're my friend, then you shouldn't judge me. And she walks off and Dolores goes, that's true. That's going to be a long ride home.
Enjoy that argument, idiots. So yeah, so now Melissa and Joe she's dragging Joe away and she's like, you know what, if me and you were going through something, I don't need everyone else talking about it, okay? Even though I've talked to everyone else about it and now they just are so sick of it, they've got to weigh in, okay? It annoys me.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I was waiting for you to say something to stick up for me. And she's like, I say plain, you just need to realize how lucky you are. And then they do the whole thing again, you know?
Yeah.
You're old school, I'm new school. And he goes, oh my God, fucking Joe. He goes, what? I ain't old school. If I was old school, you never would have left the house at all. I was like, oh.
Oh, so he was so kind to give her a little bit of time outside the house, which shows how progressive he is. Jen and Marge sit down with like Dolores and Tree and everything, and Jen's like, is that something serious that's really going on with him, baby? And Dolores goes, yeah, it's serious. She wants independence. He wants to stay where the way they were. And you know what? I know the end of this play. Okay.
Yeah.
All I gotta say is keep your eyes up. If there's a chandelier, watch out. Watch out. I've seen the end of this play.
There's going to be dead chorus girls all over the place at the end of this.
Listen, if you see a tire floating, watch out. I've seen the end of this, okay? Watch out for that cat.
All right. I've seen the end of this play. You know what? Only half of them get cast in the musical at the end. Spoiler alert. All right. I've seen this play.
You know what? I've seen this play, okay? And guess what? Guess what? Birdie, I know who he goes with, okay? I know who he goes with.
Let's just say that Birdie, they end up saying bye-bye, okay? That's it. That's all.
Listen, let me tell you something, okay? Don't feed plants, okay? Don't feed the plants. That's the end of this play.
So then Melissa are still having their, I'm old school, I'm new school, I'm your old school, I'm new school. And so they're fighting, and then they just leave. And Jen's like, you know what? If they stop caring, they're going to stop crying because marriage breaks when someone gives up, baby.
Yeah. And, you know, like Melissa's saying how she's scared in her relationship and, you know, she's never seen Joe fight so hard against what she wants and she's just never felt this exhausted and she's feeling like giving up. And then now it's like the end of the episode. So we start getting like little like updates. Melissa continues to build her brand. Great. And she recently launched a new workout line, but her hardest job is still being a wife to Joe Gorga.
Well, so rude, right?
That's rude. Yeah, yeah. But her hardest job is remaining in a loveless marriage.
Yeah. Wicked, so, man. You know, basically it's everyone's ending, right? And Marge and Joe are happy. They completed a house, so now they're looking for a new project to fight about. Jackie threw a double bar mitzvah for her boys and had a pizza party or something. I'm assuming that's what it said.
Yeah, no rumors and not one apology. Not one analogy. Jennifer is still not speaking to her mother, baby, but she is speaking to lots of housekeepers and still can't get one who gets her tone. And we just see Bill go, Purple rain. Mega rain, baby.
And then Dolores is still enjoying life, and she got a thigh lift.
Yeah. And she's considering which plastic surgery procedure to get next. Dolores. And she won't be taking a poll. Dolores. Quit while you're ahead. Do not. You are so.
Because you are ahead. I mean, you really do look good. You don't look crazy at all. I think all the work she's had done is really good. And I saw on Instagram, she's like, this is my body sculptor. He's a genius. We call him Dot with a Butter. And I was like, damn, he does really do a good job. I didn't even know about body sculpting until recently. One of my friends works for one of those places. And she's like, oh, no, what we do is we take, like, they move the fat in your body, like, suction it and shit to other parts of your body to make those parts look better. Did you know that that's how that works? I had no idea.
No, I hadn't heard of it. Like, the last thing I heard of was cool sculpting. So I don't know.
So cool. I mean, I don't know. I've got you're going to shape me weird. I mean, I think I would have to do some work before the sculpt. I don't really know where it would go with me, but I think it just sounds fantastic. And you know what? Look at me learning in 2021 what body sculpting is. So, I mean, finally, you know, the show is educational.
And I like that here we are talking about chauvinism and the two of us are basically lecturing Dolores on how she should treat it, what she should do with her own body. But
you look gorgeous. That's all we're saying.
I feel like with New Jersey plastic surgery, you know, if you ever come out looking good, you've dodged a bullet. And so the fact that she keeps going into the firing range, I'm very nervous for her.
Yeah. Speaking of Teresa, did you see Teresa's vacation pictures? Oh my goodness. She's really gone with the whole Kardashian lip thing. Her lips are like,
dear. They've been heading in that direction for a while. She looks like she has like a surfboard for lips now, huh?
Yeah. So anyway, is that it? Is that everybody? Oh, and it ends with Teresa calling her boyfriend, going, huh, I just wanted to say I love you. I'm a public figure. And he's like, come back to my castle.
Yeah. And she said, well, the update on her is that she's madly in love and that they bought an investment property together and they have a pantry filled with pineapple juice. And then she goes, so what? The producer asks, because she's doing she's speaking to Louis on the phone during the confessional. And the producer asks him what his intentions are. And he goes, I'm going to be there the long haul. Okay. I'm going to be with her until her boobs sag to the floor, which, I mean, romance. Romance is alive in New Jersey.
Isn't it though? Wow. So there we go. That's the end of Real Housewives of New Jersey. The reunion, I fast forwarded through the commercials because online everybody's saying this looks like the best reunion of all time. And I believe it. And I just want to give it. I want to give it till then to watch. I don't want to spoil myself.
We've also been watching so many reunions that I'm kind of reunioned out. So I kind of want to rebuild my strength because reunions are, for me, they're kind of hard to do because it's just like 1 hour of straight dialogue and it's a lot of notes. So I just need to like be unreunioned for a few days and then I'll be ready to dive in next week.
Well, everybody, we will do that next week. We'll be back here with that reunion. Until then, come watch a video on, you know, the video place where you watch videos. Okay.
And also a reminder, Beverly Hills is back next week. So get ready because we are having full Beverly Hills coverage.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. We sure love you. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. The Bay Area Betches, bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. In the Hizzy with Jay Hizzy.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
We're a fan of Michael Ann.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.